Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to bury the Chiefs, Keith?
I think I might be. I think I might be ready to bury the Chiefs.
It might be time.
I think so. I think we've been too high on the Chiefs. Maybe we've given them too much respect. Throughout the entire year.
We're respectful guys.
Too respectful of the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think that might be it.
That's probably that's our problem. That's on us. That's nobody else's fault. That's our fault. We were looking at them and we're saying, oh, I don't want to face them. I'm too scared of them. They have a history. There's still a little bit of that. Like, you got to be. But it's 12 weeks into the season and they're the 10 seed in the AFC. They're not even in the playoffs right now.
And it's weird to bury them after a win over what is currently an 8-3 football team in the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We went through last week and ranked the teams we fear the most. And who would you most want to avoid? Who would you least want to play? And I'm starting to change my mind on that a little bit. For instance, Keith, this is a couple of weeks ago. You had the brilliant would you rather.
One of the greats.
I think you were ahead of the curve on this.
I know that I was.
Would you rather have the bye week
and
potentially face the Kansas City Chiefs, or would you rather fall to the 2 seed and have the Chiefs miss the playoffs entirely was the crux of it, right? Because we were talking about, should you root for the Colts against Kansas City? Should you root for the Broncos against Kansas City? Those are back-to-back games.
And what's basically, more important, just not having to face Mahomes at any point or a first-round bye?
And I think I'm now changing my mind. It's a little bit based on the Chiefs. It's a lot of bit based on the Patriots having some injuries piling up. I think that 1 seed now, I personally am putting more emphasis on it. It was always important.
Yeah.
Like, of course, you would always like a bye week. But I didn't want to have to deal with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and Kansas City and the whole winning history there. I didn't want to have to deal with that, even here in Foxborough. Now, based on the injuries, and guys could be back, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds promising, but again, we'll see. I think I'm now leaning more towards you'd rather have KC in, and if you got to deal with them, you got to deal with them, but I'm putting more emphasis on the bye week.
Yeah, and at the risk of just saying samesies, I feel like the same thought, watching Patriots players kind of drop like flies, looking at the entire landscape of the AFC, where there really isn't any team that's head and shoulders above everybody else. And I kept kind of acknowledging Mahomes and Reed just because the idea of like playing them in the playoffs, and you're like, all right, that would be the toughest matchup, right? Like, we've seen them in the playoffs so many years and we see them win games all the time. So even if they're down a little bit, it's like when there was like, it's like Tom Brady in 2018. I'm sure nobody wanted to actually face Tom Brady and the Patriots, even though that didn't look like a great Patriots team. And then the next thing you know, they win the Super Bowl. But they're 6-5. And also, it doesn't seem like there's a very likely scenario where the Patriots would have to go to Kansas City, right? Like, basically, the Patriots would have to lose, like, four games.
No, you don't have to go to Arrowhead.
It doesn't seem like that's realistic at all. So would you rather host the Chiefs and, say, the divisional round or the conference championship game, but now you have to play an extra one of these playoff games? Because you and I think a couple of weeks ago, we were of the, like, hey, get Kansas City out of there. That's the most important thing. I think the majority of people are like, give me the bye. And I think it makes sense, especially when you factor in these injuries. Maybe you need that extra week for Will Campbell or Jared Wilson or Milton Williams. And every playoff game is going to have its own kind of challenges. Like, I don't think there's the year like where you play like the garbage team in the first round, right? It could be Houston's defense or it could be Lamar, or it could be Josh Allen. Like that could be the first game, and you can avoid that with the first round bye. Like, that's probably better. Even if after the bye you have to face Allen and Mahomes, that's probably better.
How much of a nightmare is that, though? Let's say it works out. You get the one seed. Yep, the schedule is still it's still the Giants this week. Like, I know you don't have Will Campbell, and you don't have Jared Wilson,
and you don't have
Milton Williams, and the Giants have a really good pass rush. You should still beat them.
Yes.
And you should win your games against probably Miami and definitely the Jets late in the year.
Yeah.
So even if you drop two in there, there's a chance it works out. You have the one seed, but you emerge after the bye week and you go Mahomes, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Or you go,
could be
whatever, Josh Allen, Lamar, or like that's sitting there waiting for you after the bye week. I would still say that's not ideal based on the kind of year the Patriots have had, but I think that's now the path I'm leaning towards, as opposed to just get Kansas City out, because let's face it, is Kansas City that much better or worse than Buffalo? Are they that much better or worse than Houston?
No, you're really basing it off of history.
I trust the winning pedigree.
Right.
There's a lot of people who counted out Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the Patriots over the years when they didn't look their best, and then you underestimate them in a playoff game, and they came in and beat your ass. So I don't want to look past that with Kansas City, but I also thought they'd beat the Colts this week. I didn't think it would be as difficult for them as it was. And maybe I've underestimated Indy and overestimated Kansas City, and maybe they're just closer than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I keep waiting for Kansas City to wake up and pull away, and they're still the 10 seed in the AFC.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. But I think if anybody's going to say, oh, I'm not really worried about Lamar Jackson or Justin Herbert in the playoffs because they haven't been good in the playoffs, well, then you got to be consistent and be like, you are afraid of Patrick Mahomes.
That's
then.
True.
Right?
That's a good
point. If you're going to base it off of their previous runs.
If we're going to use past records.
That's why I think, like, I would put all those guys, like, I think Herbert eventually is going to have a good playoff game. I think Lamar Jackson has, right? Like, he's won playoff games. But I think those guys both could be a tough test. Like, looking at the seven teams that are currently in the AFC right now, Jacksonville is probably the only team that kind of stands out now that's like, well, they probably shouldn't be in there. And they may not be when it's all said and done. They could switch spots with Houston and that really good defense, or with Kansas City. And now that Pittsburgh has been knocked down and Baltimore's in, it just seems like every possible match, like there's not like an easy road to the Super Bowl in the AFC. And not that any team is amazing, but that's sort of the point. Like, they're all kind of lumped together. Like, I don't think there's a chance they have like a Celtics-like run a couple years ago to the finals where, you know, other teams are their best. I guess injuries would be a determining factor too, because that was sort of the theme that year. But it just seems like each game, no matter how you spin it, is going to be pretty tough. So therefore, you might as well take the bye. That is probably your best path.
How important is the bye week, Patriots fans? It's always important. It's always something you want.
Yeah.
I think it's heightened now after the injuries on Sunday against Cincinnati. There's five games to go. That's coming into focus. You can discuss at 617-779-7937. Is it bye week at all costs, independent of teams like Kansas City sneaking in, which is a team that, as of a week ago, I was looking to avoid. I do feel differently based on the events of this weekend.
Plus, maybe somebody else can beat them.
Sure.
You know, maybe it's one of those years where, like,
somebody else
does
your dirty work.
Peyton Manning, because Peyton Manning loses to the Chargers.
100%. Yeah. Maybe the Broncos knock off KC on wild card weekend. You don't even have to worry about it. So again, you can dial us up, 617-779-7937. That's your phone and your text number. Interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along and chat. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always, and I mean always, a healthy chat going on Twitch. Do the same on YouTube. You can watch. You can chat there. Just subscribe to WEEI. It's a Tier Tuesday. I believe we've settled on tiers. We kind of had a last-second pivot.
This was a good idea by you, because we were like, oh, let's do NFL again. NFL every year, every week now, as we get closer to the playoffs, it makes sense to do the NFL. But no. This is a good idea. It's Thanksgiving themed ish.
It's ish.
Ish.
Because
we
tiered off Thanksgiving foods and sides and everything last year. Although we didn't get the pretzel salad in there.
Salad or ham, I don't think. Did we tier ham? A lot of people are eating ham now.
There's ham in there. I don't know.
We'll have to go check the graphic.
Yeah, we'll have to circle back.
Yeah, yeah.
But when we do that again in the future, pretzel salad's gonna be in there.
Fingers crossed next year.
It's funny, Billy said that when we worked at the other station.
Yeah.
Brad Stevens' wife brought in a dessert.
She didn't. The exact thing that he was talking
pretzel
about.
Pretzel salad. And Billy's like,
oh, I didn't know that was the name of it.
Yeah, I had no idea. And Billy's like, oh, did you have any of that? I'm like, I did. And it was delicious.
Christian Ellis is trying to explain it to you. And we're like, what is that? So basically, it's
Ralph.
Like caramelized pretzels. So people that didn't that somehow missed the Christian Ellis interview yesterday, it's caramelized pretzels, then like cream cheese and strawberries.
Yeah. Well, he said strawberry jello, which is really my
strawberries, right?
Aversion to
so
it.
Yeah, like no, it's strawberries nice. Inside the jello.
Okay.
Oh, got it.
So like strawberry jello,
like chunky jello. It's like jello with pulp. Like a pulpy jello.
Yeah, I'm a no pulp guy at the grocery store.
Are you?
Yeah. Not some pulp.
Some pulp?
Not a lot of pulp. A
lot of pulp.
No pulp.
Mostly just.
I like it when it says some pulp.
No, yeah. I don't like the some pulp.
I like any kind of pulp.
I think I go all pulp instead of some pulp.
The Sopranos reference.
Was that? I've been watching Sopranos. That was
have you?
Yeah, I guess.
Doesn't sound like
it. They were bickering one time, and he goes, this. She's like, what? It says lots of pulp. You like pulp. No, I like it when it says some pulp.
Nice. No, I was just,
she proceeds to throw the phone at him.
Yep. That's how that checks out.
I'm late in season 6. Vito just got taken out.
Is that the final season?
That's a spoiler
or
alert. Spoiler alert. Yeah. It's the second half of season 6. Yeah.
It's the worst season of the show.
It's dragging.
It is.
What it's doing.
It's long.
But anyway, where were we? Oh, yes. We tiered off our Thanksgiving foods. Today we're going to tier off something else Thanksgiving related. So stay tuned for it.
When are we going to say what it is?
On a tier Tuesday at 11:30. You want to say it now?
It's dog breeds.
So the dog show.
We like the dog show over the Macy's Day Parade.
Yes, yes.
So we're gonna get into the dog show early. We're gonna tear off dog breeds, which I imagine not everybody is gonna be a fan of. I mean,
No.
Some people are gonna be probably a little
not bothered. Be like, hey, I have that dog that you said is no good.
Bruised egos. Yeah, sure. There's gonna be some of that for sure.
I'm looking forward to it.
Don't you dare
though.
Rank the Cavalier lowly. Is all I'm gonna say.
Well, that's why we have a committee.
Plus, you're kind of cheating. You have a bunch of breeds for Harrow.
Harrow's all
breeds. He's kind of on all the tiers. Harrow is what he's going to be. So we'll do that at 11:30. We have a Tom E. Tuesday. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, at high noon, joins us every Tuesday, and a Key for Madness at 12:45. Plus, today we're going to talk to Anthony Jennings from the New England Patriots.
Nice.
Not only because it's effectively a Patriots Friday, but also part of, and if you heard some of this with Greg this morning, Anthony Jennings and Pop Douglas have their turkey drive. So we're going to talk to him in the 1 o'clock hour today as well. So get in touch on the phone, 617-779-7937, the importance of the bye week. We're already getting a bunch of these.
What do you got?
Guys, anyone who wouldn't want the one seed and the first round bye for any reason is an absolute moron.
Whoa!
Guys,
whoa!
It would be different if the second seed also had a first round bye.
Oh, thanks.
But that's not the case anymore.
Got it.
Guys wanting to play an extra game to avoid a particular team is insane.
It's not insane.
There's also this. Every team in the playoffs are good enough to beat you schmucks.
Oh, that's just an anti-Patriot take.
I guess that's an anti-Patriot take is what that is. Benjamin Solak today, yes. ESPN, does a roundup. His takeaway from the weekend was that the Patriots lost the AFC on Sunday. He said, they lost the AFC. I think he means the one seed.
They won the game.
Big, big injury news, he writes.
Oh, right.
Out of New England. Defensive tackle Milton Williams already down because of a high ankle sprain. Fellow defensive tackle Kyrus Tonga, who's been excellent, left Sunday's game because of a chest injury. Rookie left guard Jared Wilson also has a high ankle sprain. He's week to week. Rookie left tackle Will Campbell has an MCL sprain and is out for a few weeks at least, he writes. Even if none of these injuries are season ending, it's hard to see the Patriots keeping pace with the Broncos for the top seed in the AFC. And these players will likely be less than 100% when they return. The best playoff teams are often the healthiest, and that is not New England after Sunday. So he says, kiss the one seed goodbye.
Yeah.
And maybe by extension, without the one seed, it's going to be hard to get out of the AFC. I disagree with him on kissing the one seed goodbye. They still have an absurdly easy schedule.
I completely disagree with it. And then when you also factor in 6 games remaining for the Denver Broncos, including at Kansas City, versus the Chargers and the Jaguars. So currently 3 playoff teams in the AFC and a game against the Packers. So like they come back, they were off this week. They go at Washington, at Vegas. So those should be 2 wins. But Denver's also had some miracle wins this year against horrible teams. So I don't even know if there's a gimme with Denver. As good as their defense is, they barely beat the Giants. They barely beat the Jets. They barely beat the Raiders, for God's sakes. Those are 3 of the worst teams in football.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, Denver is a team that I wouldn't want to play if I'm the Patriots.
No.
Right? Like they've moved up my list. They were already 2 on my list before.
Them and Houston, are they number 1 now?
I think they are.
I think they may be for me as well.
Yeah. However, like they've done it with smoke and mirrors. They have a very good defense, but I wouldn't say they're going to win out. Now, the Patriots might not win out either. And then you start to get into tiebreakers. They don't play each other head-to-head. So you look at, what, conference games? And if the – so the Broncos' two losses this year are to the Colts and to the Chargers. So those are two AFC losses. I don't think they're going to run through Jacksonville, Kansas City, Chargers.
I don't either.
So that's probably at least one more conference loss.
Do you still think the Patriots should split with Baltimore and Buffalo?
Yeah.
Or were the injuries, did they change your view on that?
So it's the injuries do change my view. However, watching Baltimore the last couple of weeks also changes my view. Like, Baltimore is not as tough of a game as I originally thought it was.
It's funny because I feel the same way too. Baltimore is on, they're on a long winning streak.
Yeah, but like, Lamar Jackson ain't right.
Baltimore's won five in a row.
No, I know.
But they barely beat the Jets, and I agree. I was underwhelmed with their performance. But look, if you're a Ravens fan, you could have watched the Patriots this weekend and gone, well, they barely beat the Bengals.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess you could have the same takeaway with New England as well. I would tend to agree with you. Baltimore looks beatable, even though they've won five in a row. They look beatable, and the Patriots have already beaten Buffalo, and they're going to be sitting there for a bye week waiting for Buffalo, getting quote-unquote healthier, although I don't know they're going to get any of these players back, but rested up. And you're at home against a team you already beat. So I still think they should split with those teams. I still think the one seed's in play, and I think they really got to push for it now the injuries have piled up. Not that they weren't already pushing for it, but I think there's a greater urgency to go get it.
Definitely. Now, yes, you can also argue with these injuries that make some of those games where they're going to be favored in, you know, a little bit more of a coin toss type of game. You know, like the Giants, like this Bengals game is a good example. Like, I don't know, like, do you think you're going to be sweating that one out like the last couple drives? No, and they were, and they found a way to win it. But, you know, a full game of Vidarian Lowe, even against the Giants, isn't ideal. So, like, there's no reason to say they might not trip up in one of the other games outside of Buffalo or Baltimore. But when you look at even take the injuries into account, their schedule versus Denver's schedule, they both have the same number of losses. Denver's going to have to play an extra game, right, because they had the bye week. So they're only 9-2. Pats are 10-2. So, no, if I had to pick it right now, I think the Patriots finished with a better record than the Broncos.
617-779-7937. Benjamin Solak says, kiss the AFC goodbye, the number one seed. Both Keith and I disagree. What is the importance of the one seed? Given the injuries that have piled up for the Patriots, and are the Chiefs still lurking in the AFC? Again, you can discuss. A lot of texts already, Keith. People are drawing sides.
Yeah.
Guys, you better include the Great Pyrenees, which recently won the Westminster Dog Show. That's Justin in D.C.
All right. I'll do my best.
Guys, no Shiba Inu on the list. I'm out.
Like, we can't do every single
Australian
breed.
Shepherds and Border Collies, top tiers. These now are starting to editorialize.
Yeah, that's good.
Follow-up text. German Shepherd better be number one. That's all I have to add. These are tiers. We're not ranking them, so I don't know if it's going to be number one. It could be top tier. Stay tuned to find out. I don't care about any of these other breeds, but if the Rottweiler isn't top two tiers, we will riot. Okay.
That's a bit of a threat
is what that
is. Wow.
That's escalating.
I'm telling you, people are going to be very passionate
about
these
tiers. People get fired up about the dogs. Yeah. That's proof right there.
If you have a crappy dog breed, it's still better than the best cat breed. So at least take solace in that.
All right, we'll do the tiers at 11:30. Tommy Tuesday at high noon. Kiefer Madness at 12:45, plus Anfernee Jennings, part of his turkey drive with Pop Douglas, will join us in the 1 o'clock hour. A reminder, Football Talk on WEEI presented by Paramount Plus. You cannot count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local game live every Sunday all season long. Just visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. We'll get to your thoughts on the bye week and the importance for the Patriots. And on top of that, let's get to an awkward Thanksgiving for the Belichick family next.
The Christian Arcan Show. Weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. Last night on Monday Night Football, the San Francisco 49ers defeated the Carolina Panthers 20-9. New England Patriots players are off today and will return to the practice field tomorrow to begin preparations for a Monday Night Football matchup against the New York Giants. Boston Celtics and the Boston Bruins will return to action tomorrow. The Seas will be hosting the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons will enter tomorrow night's game on a 13-game winning streak after beating the Indiana Pacers 122-117 last night. Bruins' road trip will continue in New York against the Islanders, and Boston College basketball is back on the court tomorrow as well when the Eagles host Harvard. Homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2222. 2420. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Come.
Well, it's Thanksgiving week. We're very excited about it. Looking forward to the dog show. Was it the National Dog Show? It's not the Westminster. We were getting texts about the Westminster Dog Show earlier. That's a very uppity dog show.
Yeah.
This is like a Philadelphia dog show.
It's the people's dog show.
American dog show. Yeah, it's the people's dog show, exactly.
Yeah.
So we're going to be tearing off dog breeds at 11:30. I'm curious how that's going
to
go.
There's a lot to get to. I'm trying to whittle it down, but that's nearly impossible.
Keith's going
to
be
be here all day.
Keith's going to be on a list after some of the stuff he's looking up over here with all these dogs. He's really getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll tear off dogs 11:30. Tommy Tuesday. Tommy Curran from NBC Sports Boston at high noon. Kiefer Madness 12:45 and Anfernee Jennings joining us in the 1 o'clock hour. Busy Tuesday here. Anfernee Jennings, part of the Pop Douglas and Anfernee Jennings New England Turkey Drive, which we'll talk about coming up later on in the show. Plus, look ahead to the Giants game on Monday night. 617-779-7937. We can get into the Belichick's Thanksgiving, but we started off talking about the number one seed, the importance of it, based on some of the injuries the Patriots suffered.
Yeah.
Sunday changed my outlook on that. I went into last weekend saying, I want the Chiefs to miss the playoffs at all costs. The Patriots had a bunch of injuries. Maybe guys will be back for the postseason. Williams is already hurt. They lose two offensive linemen, Campbell and Wilson. Throw Tonga on the list as well. And on top of that, I didn't think the Chiefs looked as dominant. They did win.
Yeah, they won the game.
But barely. Like, I mean, they needed a field goal late in regulation. They won in overtime. I kind of thought they'd take it to the Colts more than they did. So I don't want to flip all that on one week's performance. I do think it has more to do with the Patriots and their health.
Yeah.
But I personally am putting more priority on the one seed. And I, like you, Keith, would disagree with Benjamin Solak at ESPN, who said the Patriots lost the top seed in the AFC on Sunday. I still
disagree.
Think it's right there for the taking.
Oh, I completely disagree. I don't think he's factoring in their schedule versus Denver's schedule, the Colts' schedule. Everybody's schedule, the rest of these final six games or so, I would say is in favor of the Patriots. I'm not kissing that goodbye. I also think as much as it is the Chiefs-Colts game, it was also the Patriots game with the Bengals, not just the injuries, but how that whole thing shook out, where you're saying, man, their room for error really isn't there. So, like, you know, the first round bye is going to be critical because it's going to be three really competitive close games, right, where it can go either way. You know, years ago, the Patriots would play like the Houston Texans in the first round of the play or the divisional round. It'd be like a happy to be their team and they'd blow them out. Or like the Indianapolis Colts would come to town.
Yeah,
Jonas Gray would run for 100 yards.
The
like
Dan Shaughnessy tomato can game. Yes.
That kind of thing. Now you're looking at it and all the different versions of it is it's either teams that are not as strong overall, but have Mahomes, Allen, and Jackson. Or it's teams that are putting together really good seasons like Denver and Indy and maybe even like a Houston in their defense. You're like, three of those games in a row seems pretty daunting.
Right.
So that's why you'll say, you know what, if it has to be Patrick Mahomes in the second round, then so be it. But at least you know you're automatically in the second round.
I also would say I'm worried about Vidarian Lowe without Will Campbell out there. you know, I'm with you. I think Ben Brown is more representative for Jared Wilson, who I don't think has played at as high of a level as Will Campbell. And I just think the drop-off to Vedarian Lowe is startling. However, just remember, they lost Will Campbell late in the third quarter.
Yeah.
They went on to score on three straight drives. Now, it was all field goals. But when they got down to the one, Drake May was stuffed on the tush push. Maybe you think Campbell's presence there would have helped him score. I don't know.
It's a little more interior.
But they moved the football all three drives against the Bengals, but they did move the football all day without Jared Wilson, who they lost on their first drive.
Yeah.
And they had three scoring drives without Will Campbell.
But that's also, three scoring drives, and that's more sustainable than my example I'm about to, where, like, we saw Josh Dobbs come in for a play and make a play. We saw Jake Browning go in and make a play for Cincinnati.
Good point.
So I feel like Ben Brown and even Vedarian Lowe can patch it together for a drive or two, and credit to them, it was more than that. But
doing it for five games. Yeah.
3-4-5 games where the opposing defense is like, well, this is the guy. We can scheme up against this guy and confuse him and run stuff at him. And I don't know, that's going to be more daunting.
We asked this yesterday, I hated their approach at the trade deadline, but not specifically with the offensive line. I wasn't demanding offensive line depth. I don't think guys like that tend to move. So I wasn't crushing them for that. Should we go back and crush them that Vedarian Lowe is the swing tackle?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Like, do you think Marcus Bryant gets a little bit of a run at some point?
Listening to Vrabel yesterday, I think they want to leave Bryant on the right side, I think.
Yeah.
It was the gist that I got from his answer.
Well, so this is some of the discussion we had back during even the trade deadline, let alone coming out of camp, was, is there somebody that you can get? Because if they're starting quality, you're not going to take away either Morgan Moses or Will Campbell, and at the time of they were healthy. So what guy was available at the deadline that wasn't as good as them but was better than Vedarian Lowe? Like, you're kind of threading a needle. So you did kind of set yourself up. I think most teams, though, probably are in that same boat. You know, if you lose your starting left tackle, yeah, I can't believe anybody's thrilled with the guy that's backing him up.
But I think this is a week, too. Vedarian Lowe plays left tackle. Moses stays at right tackle. Ben Brown goes in at left guard. The rest of the O-line stays the same. You have an extra day to get ready for the Giants. And then on the bye week, if things don't look right against the Giants, that's where you can tinker with moving Moses to the left side, trying Marcus Bryant on the left side.
I mean, Bryant should practice at left tackle all week. Not with the starters. I mean, that should be very
low. But that's where he should get his reps.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
Just get him ready for it.
But I think the bye week would be the time to do that if you're going to do it. This week, I think it's Vedarian Lowe at left tackle. And, you know, hold on to your butts, as a wise man once said.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phone. 617-779-7937. Cal's in Quincy. Hello, Cal.
Hey, gentlemen. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Okay, so there's a wise coach once said, all you got to do is make it to the dance. Bill Parcells was, a pretty intuitive guy when it came to, you know, how to strategize for the playoff run. Same as Belichick. You know, that first round bye is huge. You know, you let the other teams beat the crap out of each other, and then you got home field, you bring them in. I don't see anyone in the AFC that can really dominate any of the Patriots, so far.
A team like Denver or a team like Houston with their defenses, now that you're banged up on the O-line, even the Chiefs defense,
that could be
that
tough.
Feels like a bit of a nightmare scenario if you're shorthanded against those defensive fronts. So, I don't know, sitting here today, we did this last week, Keith. Sitting here today, Broncos are now the team you'd like to avoid the most?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's sort of flipped, even though the Chiefs did win.
And the Broncos were idle. The Broncos didn't even play, and we think more of them, and the Chiefs won, and we think less of them?
Well, I mean, oddly enough, I just think Denver I've always thought pretty highly of, so it's more like they were a close second to me before. I think their defense is really good. There is way more of a chance that game might have to be in Denver than obviously in Kansas City, if you want to play that out. But let's just say let's say the game's at home for the Patriots. I just still wonder, that Denver defense is so good. How many points are the Patriots going to be able to score against them? And he's by no means Patrick Mahomes, but there's something about Bo Nix late in a game where if it's close, I think he could come through. Like the corpse of Joe Flacco, I don't know if he's going to be able to do that. But if they somehow hang around in that game,
it would have been a lot different with a clutch quarterback
and/or
a high level quarterback.
Troy Franklin's had all these big plays. They've had a bunch of big time fourth quarter comebacks and wins. So yeah, I think Denver. Because at some point we got to just face it that Kansas City right now isn't even a playoff team, right? Like it's one thing that
they lost.
Let's see how the schedule goes.
They lost ground.
They beat the Colts and went down in the standings.
They're the 10 seed in the AFC. They've lost ground. So, yeah, I just take them. They're running out of time to make their run. I've been waiting for it. Yeah, they haven't done it. Not yet. 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, we talked about this in Grab Bag yesterday, Keith.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm taking Jordan's side on this.
Uh-oh.
Because everything that was said by Jen Belichick, wife of Steve Belichick, mm-hmm. in this tirade after a North Carolina win, of all things, against Stanford a few weeks back, where she went off for 40 minutes and yelled at Bill, he's losing his mind, and she's stealing your money and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Us
or them.
Or
her or us, kind of thing.
Yeah, what was her line about she's bat bleep crazy, all this stuff stuff she said, with mm-hmm. Steve there, with Bill there, a bunch of other people there, Jordan was there. Like, I think all of her, everything she's saying, I think is right. I agree with what she's saying. Should she have been the one to deliver that message, Keith? And I can't defend anybody saying it for 40 minutes. Like,
that's long.
That's a quick five minute, like, hey, Bill, she's crazy.
Yeah.
She's stealing your money. Like, earth to Bill. Like, get your brain back
here.
What
if she was like, I don't believe you.
That's like a quick 5 minute thing. It can't be 40 minutes.
Give me 10 examples. And then she's like, okay, sit down.
I got him.
I got a lot to say. Very animated. No, I think. Should she be the one to deliver that message? Maybe not, but she probably was waiting several months for somebody else to deliver that message, and it wasn't happening. She's like, all right, I'm going to do it.
You think Steve would ever do it?
No.
I mean, Steve had trouble addressing the football team in front. You think Correct. He's going to stand up to his dada?
He's
on
not.
Something like this?
No, but I think it goes to show you how they, as a family, talking about Steve and Jen, how they feel. I want to speak for everybody about how Steve's siblings feel.
I think she was saying what everybody was thinking. She was the only one who was willing to go there.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he wouldn't be.
But does that make her the right one to do it?
Not necessarily, but it wouldn't be the first time that a husband let his wife kind of voice how the whole family feels.
It's true.
And so maybe he felt awkward where, like, because this seemed like it was more versus Jordan and not versus Bill. And so maybe Steve felt weird to sort of yell at her, where Jen's like, I'll do it. like enough is enough. And then they just kind of had it out back and forth. And it seems like, for the record, if it really was an ultimatum, seems like Bill chose, right? Jordan's still there. Jordan's posting stuff on Instagram, flaunting like the band necklace and her press pass to the, or the, her field pass to North Carolina.
I mean, going at her is going at Bill. And so I think everybody knows that, which is why
she's my muse, my flame.
They mostly stayed silent on it. Can you explain to me the exchange between her and Pablo Torre last night? I don't even get it. So she's suing, quote unquote, Pablo Torre.
Yeah.
Is he trying to claim that she faked the text?
Yes.
That's what that claim. I didn't really understand that text exchange. But basically,
so
he's like, hey.
So she's going to sue him. And then he's like, hey, Jordan, any idea why your screenshot looks like this after you adjust the exposure and highlights? And then he goes, name some guys like who provided the below video was asking about Adobe Photoshop. Thanks, Pablo.
So
she's going to sue him. But he's like, I already have stuff that like proves that you have faked some of the or manipulated some of your quote unquote evidence.
Right.
Yeah, it's not going to go great.
I mean,
she might not want to sue.
She's
like poking Pablo Torre.
I said this yesterday. She was never going to sue.
This guy's job now is just to like look into the stuff like this.
Yeah.
So he's like happy to do it. And you're like, oh, I'm going to sue you now. I was like, are you?
I also don't get, what's the issue that her birth year was off by a year? It was 2001 instead of 2000? Like what even is, what's the issue?
Well, I think one of the issues could be, when did Bill and her get together and was there a chance she was 17?
I see.
I think that could be an issue, depending on the timeline.
So she's...
Right? Yeah, eeks. So, indeed.
Did I have it backwards? I thought she wanted her birth year... Oh, no, her real birth year is 2000, so that's right.
I think so.
So she's saying this is what's defamatory about it. When we actually met and when this actually started, that's what's going on.
Well, because we already kind of knew like the way they both talked about it and this plane trip where they met.
None of that's true.
None of that's true.
Honestly, Bill's first words being beat Duke might be more believable than that story. Yeah.
But like the whole like the timeline, because he was like still with Linda, and like that's whatever. Like those are like adult problems. But like if that's her like manipulating her birth year and whatever else, I just feel like her kind of challenging Pablo Torre is probably not going to go the way she wants it to go.
She's not going
to
actually sue.
None of this has gone the way she's wanted it to go.
What percent of people who threaten to sue actually sue? It's low.
Oh, good point.
It's real low.
Good point.
And she that might be high. She's like the latest example of it. Because I can't. Bill's going to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah.
And my guess is, you know, if there's, as Nick said yesterday, like a discovery phase, an open court, and like Pablo Torre is doing more digging, like Bill's going to be like,
poking this bell.
Let's cut it out. So that's the latest. That should be a fun Thanksgiving, though.
Uh-huh.
Although I can't imagine they're all celebrating together.
Right? Well, they got to get ready for the big game on Saturday, the season finale. So that should be something.
Does Jordan? I don't want to get sued and say anything defamatory. But do you think she's cooking the Thanksgiving meal? Do you think she's doing that?
No. I don't.
I don't know.
I could be wrong.
She could be
professional chef for all I know.
Yeah.
There's a big story on ESPN today too, titled "Bill Belichick's Legacy Takes a Detour at North Carolina." And there's like a whole write up of it's live and read the whole thing.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, this is Pablo Torre basically said today that the whole reason he didn't get a job in the NFL is because of Jordan and his life choices, which makes sense. I mean, I think if he knew what was going on in his personal life, which a lot of people around him did, a lot of people in the Patriots organization did, I think you could have seen some of this.
Dude, I'm telling you, I've no proof, but I've never felt stronger that Matt Patricia is in Ohio State and not at North Carolina because of Jordan. We saw that video during the NFL Films thing, and he's just like,
best decision he ever made.
Yeah. For a guy that we thought maybe would be the most, looking up to Bill of like anybody in his whole realm, and he took off for Ohio State. He knew. He's pretty smart after all.
Turns out, all the degrees and what does he have? Astrophysicist or whatever he was. Like all of that wound up working out for him.
I think I got probably one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL where I think I did a pretty good job.
Let's not defend his whole resume, but just that was a good decision by Matt Patricia. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on the Belichick Thanksgiving, where things are going between he and Jordan and his family. Never mind Pablo Torre. Plus, all the latest on the Patriots and the top seed in the AFC. We should also get to Drake May and any reasons for concern over the last 3-4 games, which would include an inaccurate and underwhelming performance on Sunday against the Bengals.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That next. That was Drake May yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. He's on every Patriots Monday with Hart and Fitzy. If you missed any of it, it's on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. It's free. It's easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. Don't miss a second of WEEI. That includes Jones and Keefe. Use the rewind feature. You can go back and listen to Hunter Henry, Christian Ellis yesterday. We really had a breakthrough moment with Hunter Henry until we fumbled it away.
Some are saying he's our best friend, but yeah, we did kind of
fumble it away right at the goal line.
We lost the thread a little bit asking him about how many eggs a chicken can lay, and then we then wanted to share with him how many eggs we thought they could lay, and then we lost them.
I mean, I think that's still evidence of
him
being
a friend.
It was like
reeling in a big fish, and then all of a sudden, as you're like taking it off the hook, it jumps into the water.
I still think that's evidence of him being a friend.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, because instead of being like, well, you guys are idiots, he's like, I don't want to make my friend feel bad. I think that's what was going on. Yeah, I think that's how he's treating it.
Him coming off a 115-yard, one-touchdown game, and they're on a 9-game heater may also help a little bit with him putting up with us.
Probably true.
Yeah.
Probably true. He's like, guys, more questions about that, less about the chickens.
Yes.
So anyway, that's on the Odyssey app. Go listen to that there. But Drake May yesterday.
Yeah.
We brought this up on Friday, and you dismissed it very quickly. And okay. I'm like, yeah, it's a silly question. But then Drake May went out and struggled. I was thinking about this after that interview yesterday.
All right.
Do you think any of the events of the last week are why Drake May stunk it up to start the game?
No.
No.
No? He was like wildly inaccurate, way off, didn't look like himself. Like, you don't think any of that's mental based on the way he went through the whole, like, feud and blow up with First Take last week?
So his bad games early in the season started that way, where he would like airmail guys
this
and he wasn't ready to go.
This looked like the Raiders game. This looked like, was it Pittsburgh or Miami? Another early one where everything was high. That's
everything
true.
Was a little off. Then he had a really good run where we thought he'd kind of like completely figure it out. That's when we were talking about MVP. Then 2 weeks ago against Tampa Bay, he was not very efficient. Like, he was way more accurate. Wasn't that the game that he threw for like 50% passing? It was like not. Yeah. It wasn't great. And so it was
big plays, but like,
yeah,
there were a lot of misses in there.
And that was before this like stupid little back and forth with ESPN. So I don't think it had anything to do with that. I don't know. I mean, Vrabel sort of, this was sort of more for the whole team, but it didn't sound like it was the best week of practice.
Correct.
And maybe there was something with
that. First take.
that was Christian Ellis.
I mean, I don't know. I wonder if any of it is just like human nature facing a Cincinnati team where you get the little bit of an upshot that you think you're going up against Joe Burrow and then you don't. And then you're just like, oh. And then you know there's no Ja'Marr Chase. And I know those aren't defensive players that he's going up against, but just like the idea of like a showdown and a matchup between another great quarterback, then it's not. It's got to be a little bit deflating. It shouldn't be the reason why, you know, you're airmailing throws and throwing a pick six. But I wonder if all that kind of factors in, like, this is the closest thing we've seen to a letdown. It was kind of a letdown game for the team, but they were able to still win it.
We highlighted the run that May was on, really from the Miami game through Cleveland. But if you want to get where he was nuclear hot in the middle, it was really like Buffalo, New Orleans, Tennessee, Cleveland.
Mm.
But Miami to Cleveland, every game was 200-plus yards. Every game was a quarterback rating over 100. In fact, that continued to the Atlanta game. The Atlanta game was more underwhelming. He threw a pick against Cleveland. He threw a pick against Atlanta, pick against Tampa, pick against Cincinnati. Looking at his last four games, Keith, and maybe this was predictable because, again, you're not going to play like a Hall of Fame quarterback in their MVP season for a full year.
Correct.
You know how I know?
Too crazy.
Those guys didn't. Right. Tom Brady, every week in 2007, wasn't 200 yards and 100-plus quarterback rating. He wasn't doing it.
But that's what's amazing about the run that May was on, is we weren't just comparing him to, like, every Tom Brady season. We were comparing him to Tom Brady's best season.
Correct.
Like, if you said Drake...
Or, like, Mahomes' best season.
Right.
Or
Aaron Rodgers.
Favre and Rodgers' best seasons. Correct.
Because if I said at the beginning of the year, Drake May is going to have, like, the third best Tom Brady regular season,
you'd be like,
what?
Where do I sign?
Yeah, like, what do you mean? Wait, what? And, like, right now he's still kind of trending towards... Now, we'll see what the touchdowns and the yards and all that stuff. But we were talking about, like, kind of quarterback rating. And now he also has the wins to go along with it. Like, you're going to be able to stack that up. I never thought you would be able to stack up a Drake May year with one of the five best Tom Brady seasons.
Me either.
And so that's still where we're at, even after the game on Sunday.
So I wouldn't call his last four games bad.
No.
I didn't think he was great against Cincinnati. But I wouldn't call maybe any of the games individually bad. Over the last four games, though, and their wins over Atlanta, Tampa, the Jets, and Bengals, they're 4-0.
Uh-huh.
Six touchdowns, three picks. He has a fumble in there. Yardage total, 259, 270, 281, 294. He had the one inaccurate game against Tampa where he did have big plays, but he was 52%. He wasn't very accurate against Cincinnati either, 22 out of 35. So it does feel like it was predictable to drop off and play a little bit. I do wonder if any of the First Take stuff was in his head, and here's more evidence of it. You know, we can all say, oh, he doesn't care about it, he doesn't pay attention to it. You saw his little handshake before the game with Steph Diggs, right?
Yeah, Steph Diggs is getting him going a little bit.
The
Cam Newton thing, that one?
And he waved it off?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean,
Well, he's aware of it now.
Well, I don't know
if he was aware of it in the moment it happened.
Okay, no, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, like, clearly that's right before the game. They're doing the Superman before the game, and he's like, nah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I wonder if any of that was impacting him, but you're right to say early in the year when he didn't look right, that is how he looked.
Yeah, that was sort of the problem with him, and we saw it last year at times, too, where... I don't know if he's like too hyped up or whatever it is. That was sort of the thought the first 3 weeks of the year where they were just 1-2 and we're like, I don't know, how's this season going to go? There was a lot of like, he almost needed to like settle down. It's sort of like the defense would give up a score and the offense would overthrow the receiver. Like that was sort of what we saw early in the season. But then they had kind of cut that out for a stretch where you're thinking, all right, maybe that's a thing of the past. And that sort of crept back up here.
617-779-7937. Wow, guys, you're telling me he balled out when playing the bottom-of-the-barrel teams in the league. Shocker. Well, he did ball out against Buffalo.
Yeah, I don't think Buffalo's a bottom team.
He had a, I would say, a so-so game against Tampa, but they did beat Tampa. Carolina didn't look so good last night, but the defense picked off Brock Purdy a whole bunch. They didn't do that against Drake May.
Cleveland's defense is really good. I know Cleveland's
trash defense
team,
is very good.
But like, bad defense got Lamar twice.
Bad team, but good defense. Yeah. And good point. Yeah. 617-779-7937. All your phone calls there. You can jump in on the Patriots, the one seed, the importance of that. We also have on top of that the Belichick family Thanksgiving. And Drake May, any concerns about a drop in play? Not that he's been bad.
No.
But his play has leveled down. Should we be concerned about that heading into the stretch run here? Again, 617-779-7937. Busy weekend for the Celtics and the Bruins as well. We'll catch you up on what's going on with them next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.